Spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. My heart in thirst cry out for you, the living God. Your Spirit's water.
It's better close to God. It's better to walk with God. It's better to know who is God. I'm glad I've got to know Him. I wish I got to know Him sooner. That's my only regret. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Never. I remember leaving, I think it was Sean, at church under a pew one time sleeping. Went home a mile away and it dawned on us, where's Sean? Was it Sean or was it Chris or Autumn? Left them. We left them somewhere. I left them. See? Okay. I can't remember where I left them, but I left them somewhere. But aren't you glad that God won't leave you?
Yeah.
He's as close as the mention of His name.
Right.
I'd like to read a portion of Psalm 77. It said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. He pays attention. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sorrow ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Sometimes you can't sleep. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Ever been there? Mm-hmm. I have considered the days of old. The years of the ancient times. I call to the remembrance of my song in the night, and I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? In His mercy, clean gone forever, does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy, Selah? Then I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of my right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also in all Thy work, and the talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is the sanctuary, who is so great a God as our God. Mm-hmm. Our God.
Right.
Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. The Lord specializes in doing the impossible for us. But right. Sometimes you got to have something a little bit out of your reach that you can't attain, you can't do.
Right.
And that's when God wants to step on the scene. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you've done all you can do, he wants to take over. Sometimes in my services of God and learning, I've realized that serving God, sometimes you can only do so much, and you just got to put it in God's hands.
Right.
Tonight, whatever you have in your hands, cast your cares upon him. Let him take the burden. In Jesus' name.
Author of the world, walk with thee. Ruler of the earth, walk with thee. Calmer of the storm, walk with thee. Healer of my heart, walk with thee.
Can we let this be our prayer this evening?
Author of the world, walk with thee. Ruler of the earth, walk with thee. Walk with thee. Healer of my heart, walk with me. Giver of each breath, walk with me. Walk with me. calmer of the storm, walk with me. Healer of my heart, walk with me. How I need you. How I need you. Oh, Jesus. Light for every step, walk with me. Giver of each breath, walk with me.
time with us.
I won't last without you. I need you. I need you. And I'm so lost without you. I know that I would fail alone. I need you. I need you. I won't last without you. I need you. I need you. And I'm so lost without you. I know that I would fail alone. I need you. I need you. That's why I can't be without you. I won't last without you.
Aspect.
Yeah.
I need him.
Yes.
I would mess up my life miserably without God. I tried 29 years without God. I tried 36 years with God. I'll take the 36 with God.
Right.
Anytime.
Right.
Brother Mike, would you pray?
We bow down and worship.
Bible lets us know that even now there are angels in the throne room of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy." We have opportunity to join with an angel chorus, lift our eyes toward heaven, let the words fall from our lips, "Holy, holy, holy." Oh, thank you, Jesus. That a holy, perfect, righteous God would love me enough to give His life for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful it is to know You and to serve You. Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands? Can you lift your voice? Thank you, Jesus. We applaud You, Savior. How wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
How glorious.
Holy,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Near the end of service, we're going to have an awesome opportunity to take Sadie Wallace down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Kind of felt bad Wednesday. We were having the back to school bash and came down the kitchen, and little Sadie came up to me, and sometimes in my humor, if you will, or in my fun-loving stuff I do with kids, they'll come up to me. I do this with my own children, and they'll start to ask me a question, and before they even ask it, I'll say, absolutely not. I'll do it with a smile so they know that I'm just kidding, but little Sadie came up to me, and her mom was standing there and said, well, Sadie has a question for you. And Sadie just kind of sat there for a minute, and she began to say something. I said, absolutely not. And then I felt real bad, because what she was going to ask me was, could she get baptized? And then after I realized what a fool I had made of myself in that moment, I said, well, certainly, honey, we would love nothing better than to baptize you. And as we often say, normally we would do it on a Sunday morning, but her father wasn't able to be here this morning for work reasons, and so he requested that we do it tonight, and I said, well, certainly, and knew there was going to be family, and so thank you so much for coming and help us celebrate this wonderful occasion in the life of little Sadie. Thank you for coming and be a part of it. Mike, Anna, so good to make your acquaintance before service. Thank you for coming and being with service with us. Why don't you applaud them for being here in the house of the Lord? Everybody else, it's good to see you too. And most importantly, it's good to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I will forewarn you, tonight is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do something I have, in my recollection, I have not done before, but you're just going to have to wait a little bit to see what that is. But right now, I want you to stand and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 18. I will not be long in my remarks. I am looking forward to what we're going to do here in just a few moments, but I want to take an opportunity to look into the Word of the Lord for a few moments. Matthew chapter number 18, begin reading in verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest? Everybody say the greatest. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We know by Scripture this is not the first time that they have had this kind of discussion and this dialogue has ensued, but here is another occasion where the Bible says the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Pay close attention to this next verse, because it has some very strong language in reference to children. And I believe not only is the Lord talking in reference to natural children and natural age, but I believe that he is also referring to spiritual children. For he says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm so serious about this. It's so important that children are able and that they are facilitated, that they are, if you will, ushered into an area where they believe in me. If anybody would do anything to stop or to prevent a child from believing in me, it's better for them than a millstone were hung about their neck and they were cast into the midst of the sea. But I'll draw your attention back to verse number 3. Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For a few moments, I want to talk to you upon this subject. Except ye be converted and become as little children. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we have felt so powerfully in this place. God, we thank you for the ears that are here to hear your word, God. I pray that every heart would be open, God. Every mind, God, would be pliable by the power of your word, God. That we would leave here enriched, encouraged, renewed in the spirit of our mind, God. That we would all walk from this place with greater understanding and revelation concerning how you work and how you move, God, and what you desire in each and every one of our hearts. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I wonder how astonished the disciples and the others that may have been present that day. I wonder just how astonished they must have been when, in response to the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus called over a little child. I wonder if maybe there were mouths open, gaping. I wonder if maybe there were some saying, well, this just doesn't make sense. Jesus often had a way of doing stuff that was seemingly out of the ordinary or seemingly against what normal analyzation or logic would say. And so when he calls over this little child and the Bible says, and set him in the midst, I wonder what the faces of the men that were there that day looked like. I wonder if they sat there in expectation of another one of Jesus's parables where they really didn't understand on the surface. I wonder just what was in their heart and in their mind as they looked and this little child was brought and Jesus set him down in the midst of them. I wonder what they thought when that was the response to their question. When they inquired, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus calls over a little child. I often wonder what was the child like? Probably eyes wide open, wondering, now all these eyes are staring at me, this man that others probably referred to as rabbi or master. He has called me over and set me in the midst of all these individuals, and now these eyes are looking at me, and I bet maybe there was a little fidgeting by the little kid because he really didn't know what to expect or what was going to happen. We don't know the age of the child. We know by the reference in the Bible that it was a male child, for the Bible referenced him. We don't know what age. We don't know if it was someone really, really small who had just started to walk. We don't know if it was an adolescent. We're not really sure. We only know that the Bible referred to the individual as a child. But then Jesus doesn't leave it at that place. He doesn't just say this is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven. He then further goes on to explain. Jesus combines conversion with becoming as a little child. For he says, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It hit me. I looked it up and I realized these are the same words that Jesus used in response to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus wanted to know how to inherit eternal life, when Nicodemus came to Jesus with questions concerning eternity, with questions concerning how he would enter into the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus, when his response was, except you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here, Jesus is once again saying that there is a prerequisite for entering into the kingdom of heaven, and that prerequisite is, except you become as little children. I've heard it said and preached and have done so myself, and I know that many of you here have as well. We've often heard preaching from John 3, except you be born again of water and of spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I wonder how many times they also has referenced Matthew 18 when it says, except ye be as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, the way I read it, becoming as a little child is just as important as being born again. Or might it be that being born again spiritually is so akin, it's so alike to being born again naturally, that I have to learn in the spirit like I did in the natural? And maybe this being born again, this becoming a little child, it all goes together, that when I am born again into the Spirit, that now just as a child, I had to learn to do things and become more independent. And I had to learn things as a child. It's the same way in the Spirit. Sometimes I think we enter into a relationship with God thinking we have things figured out already, that we know a lot more than we actually do. And I wonder if maybe it would behoove us in our walk in relationship with God to come before Him and say, I am but a child. Teach me. Walk with me. Hold my hand. Lead me on. Show me how to do what I need to do. I don't want to come into this thinking I have all the answers. I want to look to you and know that you have all the answers. I want to look to you as being the one who will lead me and to guide me. Except ye be as little children. And so I begin to think about begin to think, well, how then do I align myself? How then do I be as Jesus said I should be? How then, as an adult, as one who has so much history, if you will, how then do I be converted? How do I be as a little child? What do I learn from children? I've said many times, and I believe this to be true, I learn so much about the Lord through my children. I really do. There's one thing I've learned about a child is that a child has astonishing faith. A child doesn't have to have, a child doesn't analyze and try to logically understand. A child really believes that all things are possible. If you don't believe me, do what I do sometimes and just try to make it where my children don't hear me eavesdropping or listening in on their conversations, but I do because it's so interesting. Their imaginations about what could be and what's going to be and these roles that they are playing, they have, it's like nothing is impossible, that anything you just imagine it to be, and they grab things and they go into the woods and the imagination just continues. And I think to myself, oh, to be like a little child. Believe that anything is possible. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that can believe. And I've come to understand that when it comes to faith, I need to be more like a child. I don't need to try to logically understand everything. I don't need to try to figure everything out. I don't need to let all my wisdom and my knowledge begin to muddle up. If the Lord said it, I just need to believe it. I just need to lay hold on the promises of God. For in Him they are yea, and in Him they are amen. And so I don't need all this other stuff that many times brings in doubt, in confusion. I just need to be as a child. Lord, by your stripes I am healed. So I believe that you heal when I come to you. The faith of a child is absolutely astonishing. Another thing that I've noticed about children is that they have such compassion. They really care. And they don't have to be rewarded for their compassion. They're not doing it out of a sense of obligation. They're doing it out of a pure motive. The other day, backyard, and many of you know we have a backyard that kids love to play in. And so we get kids from all over the neighborhood that love to come and play in our yard. And sometimes our children love that, and other times our children are just like, okay, yeah, it's time now for you to go home. I was sitting on the steps and I was watching the kids play, and they were having fun, and my daughter Kinsley comes over to me, and I hope she's not offended that she likes when I talk about her in church, because she tells me every time after. She came to me, and with such concern and care on her face, she looked at me and said, Daddy, I don't want to play outside anymore, but I don't want to be rude. You could tell she didn't want to hurt
the other kids' feelings. She didn't want to tell them that she was ready to go inside. She had such care, and they were having fun. And though she was ready to go inside, she was trying to, Daddy, how can I? I looked at her and said, you got some homework, right? First time she's been excited about homework. I said, well, maybe it's time that we go inside and do our homework and get ready for dinner. So Daddy will go ahead and make the announcement, and that way it doesn't look like you're doing anything. There was such care and such compassion because she didn't want to hurt the feelings of the other kids. What would it be like if we had that kind of compassion and care where we took very, very much care in how we did things and to make sure that we're not trespassing upon other people, and we really care that how our actions are going to affect them and what we say, whether it's going to hurt them or not. What if we had that, except GB as little children? The Bible says you're to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. Oh, that we could be as little children and have that kind of care and compassion that they have. Something else I've noticed about children. They don't hold grudges. Children don't hold grudges. They can be angry and crying and mad and upset at one another, and 5 minutes later, they're best buds. They're having the time of their lives. I challenge you to put some adults in that same scenario and see how that works out. It's amazing. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. It's amazing how that some people, even as they grow up, where they didn't hold a grudge as a child, things that happened to them as a child, they now hold grudges. Jesus said, except ye be converted, be as little children. You've got to let some things go. You got to be like a little child. Well, they hurt me and they did mean things and all that. Yes, I'm not demeaning that, but except you be as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to understand, you can't hold grudges. You can't make people pay for their past mistakes by continuing to hold on to things. You got to let some things go. Except you be as little children. And then there's another thing I noticed about children. And this is one of my favorites. Is that children have no thought for tomorrow. They don't. Every day is just a new day, and they're living in the moment. They're not concerned about bills. They're not really even concerned about where their next meal's coming from. Because children have such a belief that, guess what? Mommy and Daddy are going to provide. Jesus said, consider the lilies, how they toil, how they spin not. But know this, that Solomon in all of his beauty was not arrayed as one of these. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or what raiment you shall want, what clothes you're going to put on the body. Is not life more than eat and drink and the body more than raiment? Consider the fowls of the air. The Father feeds them. Except ye be as little children. So much of the time we fail to live in the moment because we're worried about tomorrow. We fail to really, really live in the moment. Many times, let's just be honest, many times we fail to get out of what we could in service because our thoughts are already about what's going to happen later on tonight or what we're going to eat or what's going to happen tomorrow. And we fail to live in the moment. Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is the thing that I've come to understand, is that I've got a lot more to know about becoming as a little child. I need childlike faith that just believes. I need the care and compassion that a child will display. And I need not to hold grudges and not to make people pay for the things that they've done and hold things against them. And I need to start living more in the moment. I need to be, Jesus said, except you be converted and be as a little child, except you learn to humble yourself. Pride gets so involved in situations and our own understanding and our own knowledge of how we think things should be and how we think things should go. And we're all the time looking for the future, and we fail often to live in the moment and enjoy what God has given us today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not in tomorrow. I will rejoice and be glad in it, this day, this time, this moment, this service that I'm in, this time that I'm here. Guess what? I'm going to live in this moment. Heard it already said. You know something that Sadie said about today? She said, this is going to be the best day of my life. Oh, to have that kind of outlook. To have that kind of understanding. Listen, I know, I full well understand that when it comes to children, and dare I say when it comes to us adults, we don't understand everything there is about baptism. We don't understand all the implications of entering into a covenant with the Lord. We don't understand everything about having His name applied to our lives. I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, and I'm still coming to greater understanding and revelation. But anytime a child would recognize their need to be baptized and to have the name of Jesus Christ applied to their life, then I'm okay with taking them down in a watery grave. I'm okay with them going, because I realize it's not just about the past, and it's not just about the present. It's also about the future. Here's what I'm going to do a little bit different. I want all the children, what we would classify as children, I want all the kids to come forward. You can stand so they feel comfortable doing this. I want all you kiddos to come and just kind of take a seat right there on the floor. Maybe sit Indian style or... Look, they're already acting like they're going to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. Kiddos, I'm going to talk to you for just a few moments. Pastor's going to say just a few things, and then we're going to take Sadie down in baptism. Is that cool? Yes? And Kinsey's just as excited as when she was getting baptized. Let Pastor say a few things, okay? You know, the Bible doesn't give us any required age for children to be baptized. It doesn't. The Bible does tell us in a couple stories that whole households were baptized. Acts chapter 16, Acts 10. The Bible says that the whole house, you know what a whole house is? Like all the family, the whole household was baptized. So we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an answer as to what age children are going to be baptized or should be baptized. But this is what Pastor believes. Pastor believes that when children understand that they need to be a part of the family of God and they need Jesus' name applied to their life, then baptism is right. And baptism is what we should do. And so sometimes that's real early. Sometimes that's real young. Sometimes it's older. But whenever anybody comes to their understanding of needing the name of Jesus applied to their life, we want to baptize them. We want to take them down. And I know that for kids, sometimes it just looks like a kind of like a square pool. Yeah. And I know that we don't always understand everything. But as children with obedience and faith, you guys can understand and know that this is something that the Word of God says we should do.
that his name should be applied to our life. And that when we take on, catch this, the Bible says that when we are baptized into Christ, we put on Jesus Christ. And so guess what? As we grow up, we're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect. We're not. I know that because you're all going to be teenagers at one time. Guess what? When we are baptized into Jesus Christ and we put on Christ, that means we put on his perfection. That means that he's still right even though we may do wrong. And that the sacrifice that he made for us is still sufficient for us. Right? And so whenever children come to the understanding that they need to be baptized in Jesus' name, if their parents are willing and their parents feel that they are at a place where they can understand what we're doing, then pastor is okay with them being baptized. I want you to stand up and turn to the congregation. Stand.
Jesus said this. Suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Family, friends, in regard to these children, please, please, on the authority of God's word, don't ever do anything to discourage them in a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't ever do anything that would be a stumbling block. Don't ever do anything. It would cause them to waver. Do everything you can to encourage them. Do everything you can to help solidify. They don't understand everything, but guess what? If they can understand that mommy and daddy and grandparents and family members are for them serving God, and for them coming unto Jesus. And we may not understand everything all the time, but guess what? We do understand of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we want to do everything in our power to make sure that we're facilitating, that we're making every opportunity for them to be involved and be around the things of God. Suffer the little children to come unto and forbid them not. In other words, don't in any way, shape, or form prohibit, don't in any way, shape, or form stymie or keep them from coming to God. For if you do, here's some strong words, if you do, it's better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the midst of the sea. Little Sadie, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and go back into the room and you're going to get changed in the baptismal robe. I think your mom is going to take you right now. I think sometimes it, while we celebrate birthdays and celebrate occasions and good grades and successes and achievements in life, and we certainly should do that. We should never, in my opinion, we should never celebrate more the natural things than we do the spiritual things. Children who come unto God and repent, they're baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That is so, so much something that we should celebrate and commemorate. And I pray that no matter where life takes little Sadie, that she'll remember this day. Her family gathered as witnesses in a church, a body of believers, family and friends came to a service. And at the end of that service, they witnessed her going down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Family, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward first, give you a place if you want to stand up near the front, come front. That's fine. You can come on. That's perfectly okay. Congregation, you can gather in behind them. Parent, grandparent,
Suffice it to say this. Do everything in your power to support, facilitate these little children coming to Jesus. All over this house, can we pray as they're making preparations? And I'm going to slip back there, and we're going to go through this. And it's not just tradition. It's not ritualism. It's placing someone into the kingdom of God. The name that is above every name is about to be applied to the life of Sadie Wallace. Thank you, Jesus. No matter where you've been, you'll always be special to Him. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus looked at him. Call that little boy over here. Set him down in the midst and said, here. You want to know who the greatest in the kingdom is? It's a child. And except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Adult. I don't care how old you are, how much experience you have. Have childlike faith. Just believe that with God all things are possible. Have compassion and care. Love for your fellow man. Without regard for return, only out of a heart of love, pure motive and compassion as that of a child. Don't hold grudges. Let it go as a child does. Give no thought for tomorrow. Live in the moment. Believe that your Father will provide. Lord, I look unto you. I believe that you have the power to perform that which I need. Help me to be as a little child.
you, Jesus.
The cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive, he is alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive, he's alive.
Bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Make sure you take opportunity to congratulate little Saley on her baptism. God bless you. You are dismiss in the precious name of Jesus Christ.